Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast. Broadcasted from Konami HQ in downtown Tokyo, it's the world-renowned Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast.
All right, welcome to episode 4 of the MGS4 Integral Podcast. I am Sean Eystone, and once again, I'm here with Aki Saito.
Hi, everyone.
And producer Ken Imaizumi.
Hello.
So, Aki, what do we have in store today?
Okay, it's February right now. What's happening in February?
February
14th.
All right.
Oh, Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Good topic, Ken. Sean, Ken, you guys might know, but it's totally different in Japan what Valentine is like.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just explain the difference.
Sure. All right.
Okay. In Japan, the boys receive the chocolate from girls.
Yeah.
And I thought this was worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
But when I grew up in America, it was totally different.
Right.
The boys have to give
something, right?
Chocolate is pretty common. They give chocolate, but it's usually the guy to the girl in most cases. Either that or it's kind of they exchange presents mutually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, that happens also.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of interesting when I first came to Japan as an exchange student quite a while back. And, you know, I got a bunch of chocolates from all these people. And
bunch of
so
chocolates.
You're, you are trying to tell us you are very, very popular.
No. I'm just saying it is weird, you know, because, you know, in America, it's always just chocolate to somebody you care about. And it's not that everybody's exchanged chocolate as
a
formality.
Do you know why the Japanese Valentine's, you know, the girls give the chocolate to the guys?
No, actually.
Do you know who started with, you know, these custom?
No idea.
No.
That's, you know, Japanese chocolate company started just because they wanted to sell more chocolate.
Wow. Okay. So that's another conspiracy.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So in Japan, the boys get anxious during what, the 11th or 12th or 13th, or especially on Valentine's Day, how many chocolates they get from girls.
Right.
And the funny thing is, on March 14th, 1 month after Valentine's Day, in Japan, there's a day called White Day. You know, white as in black and white.
Right.
So the guys receive chocolates, and if they like that girl, they give a candy back during White Day.
That's a, you know, junior high or high school student.
Right.
When you get like really old, and you have to buy something like luxury stuff, like a, like a brand wallet or
watches,
Prada purse.
Yeah.
but yes. Okay. So who started this White Day? So probably
candy company
started this White Day thing. Well, anyway,
okay.
Well, that's the difference in Valentine's Day. Okay, today, Sean, where are we at?
Okay, so today we're gonna continue with South America. We're gonna backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
You know, we did the Naomi tracking mission earlier, and we're gonna go back to the power station level today.
Okay.
Do they have a Valentine in South America?
Are you continuing to?
I have no idea. I would assume so. I don't know.
I'm just wondering. Is this universal?
I think so. I think
Valentine's
it's for Saint Valentine. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're gonna go to the South America power station. So, Sean, could you hook up the game and...
All right. So we're going to load the save right now, and we want you to just load the save and don't move, first of all, because we're going to point out a few things. So, first of all, you'll see a couple of rebel soldiers in front of you.
Uh-huh.
So just follow these guys a little bit, and you'll come to a fork in the road where it goes left and right. If you just watch these guys for a while, you'll see that they're using some pretty realistic battle strategy. How would you say it? Like, I guess, you know, battle strategies that, you know, Mori-san.
Yeah, that's what we learned. Yeah.
Right. Everybody on... how soldiers should move and act in a battlefield.
Right.
So all of these movements that you're seeing, you know, these guys are doing, are based on reality. It's all been checked for authenticity, and we paid a lot of close attention to that while we're making the game.
So they kind of stop here and there, and they say, okay, and then move forward.
And and they kind of move along in two-man cells. You know, they have watch each other's back and take cover as they move forward.
Okay.
So anyway, so you'll come to this rock, and you'll see a fork in the road that goes to the left and to the right. So what we want to do is head to the right, and as you head to the right, you'll see kind of like this ledge leading up to the right, and another path heading straight ahead. And we're going to want to take the ledge heading up to the right.
Okay.
But before we do, let's just head over here because there's some crops that I want to point out. You know, these things look like corn.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But actually what some people might not realize is that these are actually potato plants.
Potato plants?
From what I hear. you know, actually a lot of the staff went to South America and they went to Peru. And I guess they saw these plants growing around and they thought, well, you know, it's about the right size, right height people to hide in. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to use it in the game. And, you know, a lot of people thought it was corn. Mm. But I guess when they asked one of the locals, they said actually it was a type of potato.
Mm. Very, you know, very tall plants.
Yeah. And, you know, supposedly, you know, potatoes are, I guess, from Peru originally. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we wanted to use some of the native plants and animals in there, so.
Yeah, one more thing. I wanted to talk about the plant name is Munya, which is like a real plant, not like, you know, we made it up or something. Mm-hmm. It's a real plant. You can get Munya in somewhere in the battlefield.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And then when you get the altitude sickness?
Altitude sickness.
You know, the sickness. And then you, you know, get dizzy or something.
Yeah.
Like a,
you
know,
get sick.
And the snake will be sick too. Mm-hmm. So when you get Munya, and then you will get better.
Oh, really?
Treat it, yeah.
When does snake get altitude sickness?
Audubon kind of mentions it.
Yeah.
You know, be careful of altitude sickness while you're there. Uh-huh. And it's not that obvious, really. I mean, it's not like he just gets altitude sickness while he's walking around or anything like that. But he does get tired pretty easily, you know, mm-hmm. in battle situations and things like that. Your stamina will decrease. Mm. And using that Munya will bring your stamina back up.
And this is true in real life.
Yeah, true in real story. I mean, some guys went to the South America for shooting some photos, you know, right. And then most of the guys get, you know, the sickness and they chew those Munya mm-hmm. plants mm-hmm. and then they get little better.
Oh, really?
I mean, not completely treated, but, you know.
Yeah, so, I heard Kimura-san got it pretty bad, right?
Yeah, yeah,
the lead really level
sick.
Artist.
Yeah.
So he was chewing Munya all the time.
Yeah, Munya all the time.
He had it in his pocket constantly.
Actually, I never got altitude sickness.
Me either.
I haven't climbed a really high location recently.
I think I've only gotten it once when I went to, like, you know, the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
And you don't feel it right away sometimes. Mm-hmm. Then you kind of move around for a little bit. I went hiking and, you know, normally I could run up a hill no problem and I was just dying by the end of it.
Then you know. Next time you get this altitude sickness, you'll look for Munyas.
Look for some Munyas.
And choose some Munyas. Okay, let's go along, John.
Okay, from these potato plants, let's just backtrack a little bit and head up that ledge that you saw to the right a little bit earlier.
And we're going to take the high road.
We're going to take the high road up to the right. And once you climb up those, that kind of like step-shaped ledge, you'll come to another divide in the road. And to your left, there's a low path.
Yeah.
And to the right, there's another path that goes up even higher.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
so which path are we going to take?
So, you know, the thing is, either way you go, it'll end up in the same place.
Uh-huh.
But let's just go ahead and take the high road.
Okay,
up on
the right.
Up on the boxes and then...
So climb up the boxes, then climb up onto the ledge.
Uh-huh.
There'll be a gap. Uh-huh. Jump over that. And when you get to the other side, you'll probably see some soldiers patrolling ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and equip your Mark II pistol and try to take them out, put them to sleep without being spotted. Then jump over the next gap and you'll get to kind of like this... Like, you know, you can either go straight ahead and go down to the road or head to the left. So let's head to the left.
And make another jump.
Make one more jump.
Okay.
Okay. And when you get to the other side here, be careful because there are enemies wandering around.
Mm-hmm.
A good thing to do is just have your Mark II pistol ready. Mm-hmm. And if you see any movement, just go ahead and put them to sleep. You'll probably see a guy on your right here.
So now you're moving forward. So
kind of hide in this grass.
Yeah.
Take out this guy.
Good night.
And be careful, because there are a lot of enemies up here. So, once again, you know, if you run into battle, just go ahead and switch your iPod off and take care of the battle first, and then come back. Immediately to your left, you'll see that there's a ledge, and there's some snipers here picking off the rebel soldiers down below.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the corn plants.
Yeah, hiding in these corn-type plants.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead and take care of these guys. You know, just help out the rebels a little bit. It's kind of hard to see because of the grass.
Two guys there.
Yeah, two guys.
Two guys.
So if you had taken the lower route instead of coming up here, those guys would have sniped you.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, now it gets a little bit complicated. There are a bunch of paths that you can take.
Uh-huh.
If you look, you'll see like these power lines.
Uh-huh.
And if you look towards the north, that's the direction that we want to head in.
Uh-huh.
So if you look towards the north, there's like a plateau with some boxes on it. Cubes, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And what you want to do is head towards that plateau and go to the right of that plateau.
Yeah, kind of a, what should we say, a middle path, right?
Yeah, more or less the middle path.
Yeah.
You know, basically you want to be heading north, so take that middle path, and you'll see another soldier, so go ahead and put him to sleep as well. And then you'll come to another split in the road. And there are a couple paths leading to your left, another one more or less straight ahead, and another one to your right. Mm. So let's just head straight ahead. Mm-hmm. From this vantage point, you'll see a billboard towards the, I guess, northeast. Mm-hmm. So head towards that billboard. And as you run towards that billboard, you'll notice you come to a clearing, and to your left, you'll see the power station and a mortar up on this ledge here.
Basically, we headed for this mortar, actually.
Right. So yeah, the goal here is to get to this mortar. Mm. You know, this is a really nice vantage point. Uh-huh. So I think people should just kind of look around and take in the surroundings. You know, one thing to notice is that this scenery that you're seeing right now is very, very accurate. You know, people from the team actually went down to Peru, went down to South America to get this look. Mm. We wanted to make something that was a little bit different from Metal Gear Solid 3. Mm. And we wanted to have a jungle setting, a forest setting, but not have it be exactly like Metal Gear Solid 3. So, you know, Shinkawa-san and Kimura-san, the lead level artist, went and looked through a bunch of photos and tried to find what location they wanted to use. And South America kind of stood out for its kind of unique landscape with these rocky mountains and kind of sparse vegetation, I guess you could say. I mean, it's still a forest and still jungle, but you know, it's a completely different feel from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not as much as jungly, you know, with all these. The color settings is different. You have the dirt color,
you have
the greens and moss greens and things like that. But there's one thing that's really standing out in this, especially when you look to the right, that there is a... Ken, you want to explain about this?
Oh, the sign?
Yeah, the sign.
Mm-hmm. Right next to the tower, there is one sign. That's a PMC sign. Mm.
The white billboard, right?
Yeah, white billboard.
White and red?
Red, top and bottom, and red lines, and that's a PMC sign.
And, you know, it does kind of stand out, and that's intentional also, is, you know, we wanted the player to kind of have this feeling of paranoia while they're in the jungle. No matter where they go, the PMC is always there. Yeah. And they're in control of the area. So like in the Middle East where you see, you know, PMC flyers on the walls, we wanted to do something similar in South America. So we went ahead and put these giant billboards in here just to kind of raise the level of paranoia.
Yeah, well, who in the world would kind of see this billboard, right? I mean, in the middle of a battlefield.
Well, it's for the people who are fighting, right?
Yeah, but...
Some soldier might gonna, you know, change their mind.
Yeah.
Joining a PMC.
Exactly.
I see. It's really odd. Once you notice it, when I played the game for the first time, I didn't really notice it at first sight. It was more maybe subliminal, but when you actually see it from the location of the motor, it really stands out. It's really strange because you don't see any advertisement usually in battlefields. I mean, if
especially in the middle of the jungle.
Yeah, if it's an industrial area, yeah, that's a different story, but it's really funny, come to think of it.
Right.
Any interesting stories, Ken, Sean, about this area and this part?
Well, one interesting story about the mortar itself is, you know, if you press triangle to go ahead and use the mortar, when you're moving it around, you hear kind of this clicking sound that it makes when you rotate it.
Yeah.
And that was in there from the beginning, and we wanted to do that because the mortar actually makes that sound when you rotate it, so we wanted to keep that. But something that got added later on in the development process was the fact that when Snake gets really tired, he starts swaying around, you know, swaying and... He becomes really unstable. And, you know, at the end, we kind of put it in there where whenever he's using any weapon, including the mortar, you know, he'll be weak and unable to hold himself still. And so what happens is he's kind of like, you know, swaying around on this mortar, and the thing is just constantly clicking.
So annoying.
Yeah, it was very annoying. But the problem was, because it was added late in the development process, and nobody really bothered to check this mortar, and it was too late for us to fix it. But luckily, you know, I guess you could say it's luck, you know, the game came back for another reason, and that gave us another chance to go ahead and sneak this fix in. So we went ahead and did that, and now, you know, we got rid of that annoying click, even
lucky.
If Snake is
lucky.
Tired. Yes, very, very, very lucky.
Oh, so the people will never kind of actually see what was the original.
Right, they'll never see that annoying click.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Okay, so next let's move on down to the power station itself. So to your right, you'll see this fence and a slope leading down.
Okay.
So let's just follow this slope, sneak along this fence, and head down to the power station. You'll see some lumber piled up at the bottom. So let's take cover behind the pile of lumber to your right.
Okay, so we're going to sneak into the power station from the right side, right?
Yeah, so if you look at the power station, it should be right ahead of you. There's a truck parked in front of it, and there's two ways to get in. You'll see one entrance in this brick wall here, kind of directly in front of you. Then behind the truck, there's a gate that's open, and you can also get in through that gate.
Which is easier? Are we going to go through the gate?
So yeah, let's head through the gate. That's a little bit easier, so be very careful. And
not to get spotted?
Don't get spotted. And just kind of run over to behind this truck and take cover. Be careful.
Careful.
Yeah, there are guys on the other side of this fence also, so duck down, get your octocamel working, and take these guys out before you move forward, or you will be spotted.
Well, if you get spotted, let's say you turn this off and take them out and then come back to the program.
Yeah, exactly. You know, right now we're in the middle of a war zone, so I'm sure a lot of people are having to fight their way through this, so don't hesitate to take your iPod off and just come back. Okay,
so we'll go through the gate,
and then there's a staircase
to this
right on the other side of the gate, kind of to your left. So head up that staircase and enter the power station through this door on the north side of the building. Okay, you'll see a fan near the door, so you know you're in the right spot. And go ahead and head through the door directly ahead of you, and that leads into another room kind of in the southern half of the building. And in this room, you'll see the generators.
Generators
on the right, and then at the far end of the room, you'll see a window, and to the left of that is a board that controls the generators. And what you want to do is blow this up to disable the power plant. And, you know, there's actually two ways to destroy this. You can blow it up yourself by using explosives, or if you just kind of sit around and wait for a little while, you know, once you get into this building, you know, the rebels will kind of fight their way in also, and they may come in and go ahead and blow it up on their own.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because when I played for the first time, you know, there were so many enemies around here, so I didn't notice that I had to blow this up. But it kind of shut down automatically, so I thought it was kind of an event.
Well, it happens either way. So you can blow it up yourself, or you can wait for the rebels to bust in and blow it up for you.
Does it eventually, the rebels will blow it up if you don't do it?
It depends,
It depends, right. If you manage to fight your way into the power station, then you kind of open the way for the rebels to follow you, and then they'll come in and blow it up. If you just sit outside the power station, you know, it won't move forward. Basically, it's a stalemate with, you know, the PMC fighting the rebels, and nobody really gets the advantage until Snake kind of pierces through the PMC defense and gets into the power station. Then the rebels can come in and blow this up.
So what's the advantage of shutting down this power station?
Well, one thing is, as I'm sure most people have noticed by now, once the generators stop, the war zone kind of settles down. And, you know, basically it means victory for the rebels, and the PMCs have pretty much pulled out of the area at that point. You can tell that the power's off, because if you look around, you see those fans, the circulation fans that were turning earlier in the room that we came through, are now stopped. And the generator will no longer be humming, so you know that you've accomplished your mission, and the rebels have succeeded in shutting down the power plant. Okay, so so what you want to do is there's a window at the, you know, near that control panel that got blown up. There's a window to the right of that. So let's just go ahead and jump out that window, and you'll end up behind the power station. If you climb up this ladder, it goes up onto this this tower.
Okay, so we're going to climb up the ladder. We're climbing up the ladder now.
Okay. Now, one thing I want to point out, too, is you know, a lot of people don't really realize how much effort goes into making the octocam for Snake. But, you know, every surface in the game had to be assigned a certain octocam texture, including, like, you know, this grate on this electric tower. Some really interesting patterns that you can take. So if you, you know, go down and take this octocam, you can see Snake kind of has this fishnet
kind of texture.
Yeah, it's kind of a snake-looking, you know, fishnet-looking pattern. You know, so you can get these kind of cool patterns. And one thing to point out that some people may not realize is that you can actually save these patterns. And
Right.
So yeah, maybe let's just point that out. If you go into your menu and go down to camouflage, you'll see you know, there's cloth and chest. So go ahead and select cloth.
So right now we have this camel called Fence Camel.
Right.
So that Sean just picked up.
So I have the Fence Camel, and if you select from the camouflage menu, you select cloth, and at the bottom of that you'll see an option that says to register camel pattern. If you do that, you can register it as a new camel pattern, and it'll be added to your list of patterns. And you can select that at any time during the game by loading that pattern. So, you know, no matter what stage you're on, you can load these kind of interesting patterns just to kind of customize Snake's looks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of fun. And there's some pretty weird patterns in the game too. Like, you know, if you lay down between two surfaces, mm-hmm. and half of your body is on tile and another half is on some kind of grass. Or, you know, some people might want to go and gather some patterns if they're interested. but anyway, here we are at the top of this electric tower. Mm-hmm. And if you head to the north, what is this, northwest corner of the tower, mm-hmm. you'll see there's an electric line heading off to another tower to the north. And you can actually hang off of this line and head to that adjoining tower. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and do that because there are some really cool items on that side. So go ahead and jump over the fence, grab onto the wire, and just kind of inch your way along to the other side.
Okay, now this reminds me, when I first played, as I explained, that I didn't turn off the power plant. Mm-hmm. And I was just, you know, sneaking, there's a lot of enemies, but I knew there was a way to get to the other side of the power plant, but there was a wall that, you know, resisted for me to get there. And I knew I had to kind of do this stunt, but since I didn't turn this off, you know, you get this electric shock. I bet a lot of people had this when they first played. They didn't know how to turn this off. Mm-hmm. And I had to fight, I think not died, but kind of fell off a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Because people start noticing you and start shooting you at the same time and electrifies you as well. So I was like bashing my buttons to, you know, just say, Snake, move. And then at the very last second, I think this was programmed as well, that you could actually make the stunt to the other side in the very last minute.
Right.
I succeeded. And I thought this was a trick. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I had to turn this off, you know, the whole thing. So I did this when I first played it. Mm-hmm. We have this gorgeous playroom in Kojima Productions. We're actually in this Konami building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had the luxury to come in on a Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday.
To finish the game. And Ken was doing some editing and, you know, work stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was just constantly, you know, playing with Ayako.
That was really funny because you guys play through the game like all day or something.
Yeah. Because we came in Sunday. We were doing this MGS4 for Europe. And we had to be the product managers. Mm-hmm. So you have to, of course, clear the game.
Right.
And you have to understand the game. So we couldn't do it in normal hours, like Monday to Friday, because we had like other work to do. Right. So Ayako and I decided we have to spend the night in the office or come on Saturdays or Sundays. Mm-hmm. And since no one is in the office, well, a lot of people in Kojima Productions was, you know, working night and day. But this room with this luxury couch and a 50-inch projector and 5.1 surround system, mm-hmm. we had this, we call it the Hideo room, actually. Because Hideo uses this room to show
for the
guests.
Presentation.
Yeah, presentation, mm-hmm. things like that. But we had this luxury time Sunday to sit in the couch, and then we played all day. But Ken didn't tell me that I had to shut this power plant off. He didn't care.
And he was maybe he just wanted to see you shock yourself.
You know, I just wanted to know, like, you know, how many people will notice, like, you know, this trick. Mm.
Right. Well, that's Ken true. Always said that. Ken always mm-hmm. said when I was stuck in other places as well. He didn't give me, you know, he gave me hints at the end when I was constantly trying to, like, defeat the boss or something.
Yeah, that was.
Vamp. Vamp. Oh, I couldn't figure this one out. Because the reason is, at that time, the Otacon's
The codec.
The codec call wasn't in yet.
Yeah,
right. Oh, right.
So there was no hints.
Right.
So I had to figure this out, which is almost impossible.
Yeah, it
if
is.
You don't have this, Snake, why not try doing this? You know, if I don't have mm-hmm. this, I don't know what to do. Yeah. And I was asking Ken across, you know, across the room, saying, Ken, what should I do? I've been stuck for 30 minutes. Uh-huh. And I don't know what to do. And he said, call Otacon. And I'm doing Otacon. But Otacon's saying the same thing. You gotta hide, Snake, but, you know, it doesn't make sense. And Ken says, it's not in yet. But this was another point in this power plant where I had to climb and hang on this electrical lines, which is, I think, really, really programmed very well, mm-hmm. that even if it is electrified, you could actually make this move to the other side.
So you can just barely make it, the distance is there, so you can make it to the side.
It was so cool. Okay, sorry. What's the main item around here?
Okay, so you see there are a few items here, so let's just go pick it up. The most important thing is this rifle scope that you'll see in the corner here. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, this is an attachment for your M4 rifle. Mm. And, you know, we really want to encourage people to do a lot more sniping. So we put the scope here, and it's a really cool item because you can totally trick out your M4, put a scope on it, you know, silencers and things like that. And, you know, there's a couple other items here, some anesthetic rounds and some more ammo. Be sure to pick that up. Don't pass that up. Okay, so that just about wraps up the power station. So once you climb down from this tower and head outside, you know, the cutscene with Drebin will start up, and that'll wrap up the power station.
So the first time play is always the most amazing experience for me.
Yeah.
You know, second time with all these details that, you know, Sean and Ken is giving really adds depth. Makes you urge to see it once more. You know, see the, again, when you go outside, you'll notice more what the potato plants, the Munias, and also the billboards of the PMC, which is quite interesting. So you'll get a different perspective of how much effort you guys put in to this game.
That was
It was tough. We had a lot of deadlines. And...
Yeah.
Okay, Sean, what's up for the next episode?
So the next episode, we're going to go ahead to the stage right after the power station, and that's the confinement facility. So what you want to do is just go ahead and watch the cutscene with Drebin. And then once that's done, you'll see after that there's two paths that you can take.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself after the cutscene, you'll be on the road, and you can follow the road, which heads to your right, or you can take a left and head down into the forest.
Okay.
And what we want to do is take the left and head into the forest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, either way works. You know, if you want more of an action-oriented approach, you could take the right. But the left works to your advantage because there's some items back there. So yeah, definitely take the left path, go through the forest, and just kind of stick to the left wall as you go through this entire area. And you should come out at the confinement facility checkpoint near the salt pans, and go ahead and save it there, and we'll pick up from that point in 2 weeks.
Okay, so everyone got that, the confinement facility, and we'll meet you there in March for more tips and fun talk from Sean and Ken. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast. Check back next time for more tips, tricks, and insider info on Metal Gear Solid 4, brought to you by Kojima Productions and Hideo Kojima himself. Make sure to send in your comments to Hideo Blog. See you next time.